Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you anoint your word. I thank you that, Heavenly Father, I've done my part to study and pray, but I thank you, Lord, that you're going to fill my mouth with your words, because your word is what we came here for. I didn't come to hear myself speak. I came to hear from you, and they didn't come to hear me speak. These people came here and drove here today to hear from you. So we thank you that as your word is opened up, that you are going to speak tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we've been going through the book on prayer, and you guys have gotten so far as, I believe, in the name of Jesus. You've been studying the name of Jesus, if I remember correctly. So we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. So let's go to Mark chapter 21. Mark chapter 21. I think if you're going to... Oh, Mark chapter 21, that can't be right. There's not 21 chapters.
No, I was going to say, wait a minute, that's not Mark.
Mark 11, 24. Yeah, I was
going
to say... When I joined the new cult that I'm part of, I got a different Bible. It's Matthew chapter 21, but we'll go to Mark chapter 11 because it's here as well. This is Mark's rendition of what Jesus said. Jesus is walking along the way and he sees a fig tree that's not bearing fruit. And so he curses the fig tree and he's coming back. The disciples, they went into town after they finished taking care of what they were doing. As they were coming out of town, Peter responds and says, "Hey, look at the fig tree you cursed. It's not bearing fruit." And that's when Jesus says, Mark 11, 22 says, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'"
Amen.
So in verse 24, this is that prayer of faith that he's talking about. He says, "Therefore, I say, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have them." So you have to look at the pattern here. Whatever things, so things, these are tangible things. And notice here in here, he says you. There's a lot of references to you because the prayer of faith has to do with you. I can't change, you know, I can't change Shane per se. I can pray and help Shane. Even he knows he needs a lot of prayer. But I can pray for Shane. But sometimes if Shane's not believing God, I can't get things into his life, but I can pray and get things into my life. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, you need to pray about what you want and the things that you need. So whatever you desire, notice he's talking about what we desire. So, you know, God's not against us having stuff or things. He's against things and stuff having us. That's where the problem comes. It is covetousness and greed. So that's never been the issue. I mean, he paves the streets with gold. I mean, you think, you know what I'm saying? I don't think money's an issue with him. I mean, if you got enough whatever resources, you pave streets with gold. I don't think me having even a Bentley is not that big of a deal. That's not the issue, is it? It's stuff and things having us that we can't, we're greedy. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the prayer of faith is about what we need or what we want. And there are things that we want, and they're healthy. They're good things. There's nothing wrong with them. Like for me, I wanted to be married. So I prayed. I asked God for a wife, and then I started moving that direction. So when you pray and you believe God and ask God for things, it's what I want. And so those are things that I want, that I need. And he says, whatever you desire, these are things that you desire. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. I had it written down wrong. Matthew chapter 21. This is Matthew's rendition of the same thing that Mark just talked about. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21. And then here, Mark Matthew says it slightly differently. Assuredly, in verse 21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And then verse 22, this is the part, this is the prayer of faith. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you will receive. It's just that simple. Whatever things you ask in prayer, whatever things you desire for, you ask, then you believe that you receive, and then you receive. You believe that you receive them and you will have them. So the prayer of faith is based on faith. So we have to understand faith in order to really understand the prayer of faith. So when we go to pray for things, we have to understand how faith operates, how it works. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 10. How does faith come? If I'm going to pray in faith, then I need to understand how faith comes and how I can grow faith, because faith can be grown. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So this is a continual thing that Paul is talking about here. It's not just hearing it once. It's hearing it over and over and over again. So faith, when it comes, it creates things on an image on the inside of you. Matter of fact, you know, a good example of this, let's just turn into this real quick. This is later on in my notes. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I like to, for those of you that... I like to look scriptures up. And I do for a reason. And the reason is because I can't be there with you at 2 o'clock in the morning when you can't get to sleep at night. And you need to open up God's word for yourself and say, no, I haven't gotten any sleep tonight. I'm not going to worry about this no more, you know. But you can open up the scriptures for yourself, feed your faith, take authority over this situation, and do it if you know where to find it. And I remember when I was Caleb and Kylie's and Ella's age, when I was 12, and I would sit in a class like this, and I remember opening up my Bible and going through, and when I became a teenager, that really helped me, because then I could go to the Word for myself. You know, when you're being tempted, all the pressures in high school, all your friends want you to do certain things and act certain ways and what have you, and I just didn't want to be involved with, you know, what the Bible calls the world. So I would... those things would come back up. So I would, the scriptures were important to me. I used to bring my Bible. The thing was like the Ark of the Covenant underneath my arm. I used to walk around school. I never read the thing because, you know, you go into class, you would go over the homework that you had the previous day, and then you handed a new lesson, and you go over a new lesson, and then you're handed new homework, and you leave class. I didn't have time to read anything, but I walked around with the Bible underneath my arm around school. That's funny. Eventually I learned, you know.
But what a witness.
Well, I guess. They call me the Reverend in school. So. Hey, Rev, how you doing? Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11. This is one of the best chapters. If you want to go through faith, this is what I call the Hall of Fame of Faith. I mean, I don't know. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith. In verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. So what he's saying here is that it happened in the spirit first. It was created in the mind of God in the spirit first, and he created the things that were in the natural. And then the writer of Hebrews starts to give examples. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. And if you begin to read down through here, you'll find out, by faith, so-and-so did this, by faith, so-and-so did that. And the reason that's by faith is because God spoke to them, Noah, build an ark. Build an ark. You know, so he builds this huge ark on dry land. How are you going to get the thing into the water? You know, none of it makes any sense at all. But God spoke, and that created a vision. And it, you know, and from that point on, he had something to do. That's faith. Faith is something God speaks to you, and it creates this vision in you, and you realize, this is what I need to do. And you're, what happens is the Word of God comes to you, it changes your belief system and begins to create things on the inside of you, and then you begin to walk and act differently. So that's how faith operates. It's really fairly simple. The problem is our flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? I mean, we start seeing this and doing that, and all of a sudden there are certain voices in our head from our flesh and from other things that start to clamor. You'll see that, like as a business person, excuse me, there are people who will pull on you because they want, you know, they want your business, or they want to, you know, for whatever reason, they want your attention. And so they're constantly pulling on you, wanting, you know, obviously everybody wants the money that's in your pocket, but that's true. I mean, you know, but you have to cut out, everyone who owns a business, you've learned this really quick. You have to cut out the distractions. I got to focus on what I got to do, the things I need to take care of, and I got to get rid of the fluff. And that's kind of how the flesh is. It likes to bombard you with all this stuff and keep your mind busy and and make you feel like you got to put out all these fires. But successful people understand very quickly, 80%, if I take care of the top 20% things, all the other 80% usually take care of themselves. I don't have to deal with them. But that's how the flesh is. It likes to keep you busy and keep your mind busy with all these other things. And people who own businesses or who are managers or what have you, you find out very quickly that I have to eliminate, I got to cut things out. I can't tell you, I work with Mike, and Mike owns his business, and his phone is ringing all the time. And he'll look at it and go, nope, can't answer it. Not going to answer it. Not going to deal with it right now. It's not mine to deal with. I know exactly what he's calling about. I'm not dealing with it right now. It's just, you know, you got to do it. And it's that way with the flesh. You got to shut it up. Tell it, nope, I'm not dealing with it right now. You don't run this boat. The Spirit of God on the inside of me is driving this. I'm not going to be distracted by that. That's got nothing to do with where we're headed or what we're doing. You're just trying to distract me away from what God wants me to do. And that's how it is. That's how the flesh is. The Word of God comes, and then we can start. It creates vision. And as long as you remain connected to that thing that God has given you and put inside of you, that's when faith begins to unroll and the power of God begins to roll out in front of you and create things in front of you. And you go, how'd that just happen? I watch Mike do this on a regular basis. I just sit there and laugh because he'll take on business. And I just, oh, Mike, man, I don't know how we're going to get all this work done. I'm saying, like, I don't know what you're doing, man. You're driving me crazy because we got all this work. I don't know how we're going to get it done. Some guy walks into the office. He's like, yeah, I'm looking for a job. I've got 16 years of painting. And Mike's like, sure, that sounds great. Why don't you sit down? Let's talk. And I'm sitting here going, I can't believe that just happened. We can't find any good painters in town. And this guy walks in from out of town, and he doesn't know anybody. And he's just like, but God, you know. Mike took the work. I have no idea how I'm going to get this done, but I'm going to live by faith, and I watch him do it over and over and over again. Mike, I don't know how we're going to organize this, man. That's what I'm thinking in my head. I don't know how you're going to organize this. You got so many balls in the air, and they all got to come down at the same time. I don't know how we're all going to get this done. But, you know, here we go. We're going to live by faith. I don't know, you know. So, but there are times I'll sit there and go, wow, man, Mike he's out there. Man, he's out on a limb right now. I mean, because you look at the shop, he's got trim packages all over the place, and they all need to be stained and lacquered. And I'm just sitting there going, you got a month worth of stain and lacquering for two people right here now. If we stop taking anything in, and Mike is still taking work in. Oh. Yeah, praise the Lord, Mike. I'm glad it's on your faith, not mine, you know. Yeah. Well, he knows. I tell him this. It's like, man, I'm telling you what, I watch you live by faith, Mike. You are impressive. He's like, I bought the t-shirt on this. I've already been here, Brett. I already know. So, I mean, he does, and that's how it is. I mean, he will. He'll just put himself out there, and he's like, this is where God wants me to go, so we're just going to believe God that he's going to take care of the people and bring them in that I need to get done what he wants me to do, because God's called me to own a business. So, and somehow, some way, we make it happen. Well, I mean, God makes it happen, but he gives Mike wisdom, and Michael say, nope, I'm not dealing with that right now. Nope, that's Sports Center. They're calling because they want me to... ESPN's calling me because they want me to put me on some type of advertising. So, but he eliminates the fat. Yeah. He immediately eliminates the fat. And if you ever work with him, and that's how he is, his mind just goes, oh, this is more efficient. We need to do it this way. And I'm like, wow, man, his mind just... Mine doesn't quite think like that as far as that, you know. But that's why he does his business and he's good at it. I do other things like that. He does his job like that. So, but faith is you stepping out and living by faith. By faith, Noah built an ark. He built an ark on dry land, not knowing how you're going to get it to water, Noah. You know, that's a pretty big boat you got there. It's not, you know, we don't have equipment that's going to tow that to the, well, you're going to drag it down to the water. How are you going to get it there? I mean, by faith, he built a boat. You know, by faith, Joseph asked to have his bones buried in Jerusalem. And I always wondered about that. I was like, why would you, by faith, ask to have... I don't get how that was by faith. Until one day I was reading in the book of Matthew, and it said that after Jesus was resurrected, there were other people that were resurrected. The patriarchs of old, the people that had lived by faith before, that had died in the area... Their bodies were resurrected, and they were testifying and witnessing. In the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 24, it talks about this after he was resurrected. And I was like, that's why. Because Joseph knew. He saw
that he would be resurrected.
I want to be there. The day I'm resurrected, you make sure my bones are in Jerusalem. Because someday he's coming. And when he does, he's going to die on a cross. That's crazy, right? Because I would read that in the book of Hebrews, and I would go, I don't get that. Why is that faith? You know, that's kind of creepy. I want you to dig up my bones and bury them. It's kind of creepy. But he, by faith, he saw. The word of God came to him, and he saw. He says, no, you bury my bones in Jerusalem because I want to be there the day he's resurrected. Faith sees. I mean, once the word of God comes, it creates things inside of you. So the prayer of faith is about you. The prayer of faith is about my needs, what I want, the desires that I have. I need food on my table. I need a roof over my head. I need a car to get from A to B. I need, you know, clothes for my children. I need all of those things. These are things I need or things that I want. But that's what the prayer of faith is for. If I need healing in my body, that's what the prayer of faith is for. And the prayer of faith is... Let's talk about the different kinds of prayer, because in the book of Ephesians, let's start Ephesians chapter 6. That is in the New Testament after Romans. Ephesians chapter 6. I am the healed. Ephesians 6. Verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In Moffat's translation, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer. Another translation reads, praying with all kinds of prayer. So there's different kinds of prayer. And so we're going to talk about the prayer of faith, obviously, but I want you to understand that there's different kinds of prayer, and with the different kinds of prayers, there's different rules. There's different structure within those prayers. So the prayer of faith is slightly different than the prayer of commitment. And when you read the book, you'll see that, because he makes that comparison in the book about the prayer of commitment and the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, you pray one time, it's like a contract. And you pray it one time, and you sign it in Jesus' name, like that little check that we did for the kids. I wanted them to understand that when you pray in faith for something and you say in the name of Jesus, that is like writing a check. This is a done deal. I'm not touching this anymore. I've asked God for it. The authority for that is the name of Jesus, and that's it. It's like that old signet ring that they used to give, you know, in order to conduct business in the marketplace. It didn't matter what, you know, if I walked into the marketplace and that lady in there didn't care for me, she thought I was a scoundrel, and you know, if I walked in with a signet ring and she had to honor that signet ring for the person because he was good for that. And that's basically what the name of Jesus is. It don't matter what the devil thinks about me or anything like that. I'm coming in on him. This is not me per se. Does that make sense? I'm not coming in on my own authority, my own deeds, my own good works or good looks. I'm coming in on the, you know, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. So that's my authority. And so to me, like as a painter, we have contracts. And so we have, you know, sometimes you have a home builder. He's like, I want to build 20 homes in a year. And you're going to go, okay, and that's like one home every 2 or 3 weeks in the prime season, right? So you have a contract. So, well, if you constantly went to that person with the contract and was like, you know, are we good? We're good? We're good? And like, he's like, yeah, we signed the contract. Everything's good. We're all just get, you need to get your stuff ready and make sure you're ready. And then I call him up. Are we still good? Are we still on? Is that faith? Do I have confidence in that? See, and that's what I'm getting at. If I had faith, I would start making my preparations and start buying all the mud and the sheetrock that are necessary so that when the house is, you get what I'm getting at. I would make preparations. I would need to know how much sheetrock I was going to have, how much mud I was going to need, hot mud, corner bead, all that stuff. I would make all the preparations. What am I doing? I'm living by faith. I've seen the vision. It's already out there. It's laid out. The contract has been laid in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm moving that direction. And I believe that when it's time for me, when my time comes to do what I need to do in the project, that everything's going to be ready. That's faith. That's how faith works. So so different types of prayers. So the prayer of faith is not just something you pray over and over and over and over again about the same thing. If it concerns you, it's something that you pray one time, like a contract. Nope, I have prayed about this, and that's it. I'm done talking about it. Because I believe, just like that contract, I'm not going to have to deal with this anymore. I don't have to even... Matter of fact, I'm learning this more and more about certain things. That, you know, it's funny. My faith has developed in certain areas of my life. And I can just be very quick to just go, nope, I'm not going to talk about that. And then there are other areas of my life where my faith is not quite as developed. And I'll find myself murmuring or complaining or... You know, here we go again, you know. Yeah. And then, I'm going to fix it or get my hands involved with it again. And that's what I'm talking about. Am I in faith at that point? No. Because I'm starting to murmur, complain. I've already asked the Lord about it, but now all of a sudden I'm wavering and now I'm complaining about it or frustrated with it or what have you. What I need to do is just remain faithful with my confession. Nope. I've already prayed about this. The Lord's going to take, He's already taken care of it in Jesus' name. In the Spirit, it's already done. It just hasn't manifested yet. I just don't see it with my natural eyes. When Noah was building the ark, was it already done in the Spirit that the world would be judged? It was already judged. The Lord had already spoken it. Told him, build an ark. He didn't tell him to build an ark so he could hold hands and sing Kumbaya or something. He told him to build an ark because this is what I'm going to do. I'm bringing the rain. You know? He didn't want it to be an amusement park or an attraction. He wanted, because, you know, I'm bringing the rain. So, no, you need to make sure this happens. So, that's how faith operates. And that's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As you begin to put God's Word inside of you, it creates pictures. It creates a vision on the inside of you. And then you begin to move that direction. And so the prayer of faith is the same way. You're praying that direction. And so when it comes to the prayer of faith, there are times I don't know how to pray for a certain situation. So I have to pray. Now, some of you may not... I pray in the Holy Ghost about certain things because, Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. I don't know how to pray about it. I really don't. I don't know how to pray about it. So I pray in the Holy Spirit, and I pray in the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I don't get an answer immediately. But one day I'll be reading my Bible, and there it is. There it is. Big as day. All right, I've got my answer. Now I know how to... I can just like a bow hunter, I can and nail it. because now I have God's word on that, and bam, there we go. I can, like the tongue of a ready writer, man, I can just nail it. What am I talking about? It's faith. Faith will tell you to move to the right. Everyone else is moving to the left, and I'm just going to stay right here. And then he'll say, now move forward. And then you're like, okay, so I did what I needed to do. And then everything else is like falling apart around you, but I'm standing on the word of God. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. But that's how you, there have been times I didn't know what to do. So how do you know what to do? Like I said, you pray in the Holy Ghost. You gotta make your inner man bigger in your mind. You gotta continue to pray in the Holy Spirit and fellowship with God and get in His Word and make that big in your life. And then all of a sudden the answers start coming. You're like, okay, yeah, there we go. That's what I need, because I didn't know. My head was full of a lot of different, you know, we can try to figure things out sometimes, can't we? And that's what happens. We get in a way or we try to figure things out. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Is when we try to figure things out instead of praying and asking God, I need to know specifically what you want me to do in this situation. Or just pull inside. I like to pull inside and just go, where's peace? You know. Another thing about prayer is there is no if in the prayer of faith. Turn to John chapter 11. There is no if in the prayer of faith, because like I said, once you have God's word on it, once you have the word of God on it, you already have the vision. You already have what God has said to you. So it's a done deal. Then Jesus took away verse 41. John chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. 41 and 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now he said, now when he said this, these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. See, he said here, there was no if in what he was saying. He had heard from God about what God wanted him to do, and there was no if. When he spoke this with the authority, and that's why kind of faith and authority kind of go hand in hand. Because once you've heard from God, you have the authority to speak that into existence. And that's how faith operates. So the prayer of faith does not have if in it. And remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree, there was no. And when he told us the prayer of faith, in Mark 11:24, there was no if there. If he said, if you believe when you pray. So the if is you. But once you know, there's no if in your prayer. There is an if in the prayer of commitment or consecration. And then we'll talk about that prayer. Pastor Sean will talk about that prayer. But that can be prayed over and over and over again. Jesus prayed over and over and over again in the prayer, Garden of Gethsemane. How many times did he say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, this cup, can it be taken away from me? Can it be taken away from me? But he knows on the inside of himself, it can't be taken away. I'm going to have to walk this path. If it be, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What's he doing? He's praying a commitment, prayer of commitment. But he's praying over and over and over again. And there's nothing wrong with praying things over and over and over again, because sometimes it builds on the inside of you. And then at some point, it settles in you and it's like, okay, that's it. I'm done. It's settled in me, and I don't have to go back to this anymore. And you'll find that once the Word of God sits inside of you, and you allow the Word of God to sit inside of you, that's why it's important to get into the Word. Because that way, there will be a point in which the light bulbs will turn on and it will sit inside of you. And when it does, that's it. I don't have to, there's no if anymore. And that's how faith works. So the prayer, another one that can be prayed over and over again, the prayer of praise and worship can be prayed over and over. The prayer of intercession. Prayer of intercession has different boundaries and guidelines and rules as well. That's intercession can be interesting, and I don't want to get into it that much, but intercession kind of is a little more fluid because it's more relationship. It's different because you're standing in the stead for somebody else.
That's right.
So once again, somebody else's will is involved. And so that person's will is involved. And so the prayer of intercession has different boundaries and different rules as well. But just standing in the place of another, like Moses did when he stood in the place, when he stood for Israel and said, "Now, Lord, I know you're, you know," well, he didn't say this way, but he basically said, "Lord, I know you're upset, but if you kill them, what are the nations going to say? They're going to say that you brought them out, but you couldn't take them in." You know, that's a pretty intense relationship when you're having that kind of conversation with the Lord. I just, whoo, man, I'm telling you, Moses, man. They said he was a meek man, but he wasn't meek then. Well, he was meek, but it just, he was bold enough to say, "Now, Lord, now I understand you're frustrated right now and you want to click off safe on somebody, but, you know." And Jesus, on another occasion, matter of fact, after he was raised from the dead, Peter and him are having a discussion. He says, "Now, Peter, the enemy wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed." So what's he saying? Don't worry about it, Peter. You couldn't carry it, but I've come in your stead, and I interceded on your behalf, and I've got that for you. Don't worry about it. I've already prayed for you. Like I said, it's a different set of rules. So, but the prayer of faith largely centers around you, believing for your needs, situations, and circumstances. This applies to your desires and your praying. When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. The prayer of faith is prayed one time, just like a contract, and that's it. And then from that point on, you live by faith like that's a done deal. You act as if it's done. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, I like to use this as a scripture to just kind of show you what I mean by that's it when it's done. Galatians chapter 1 in verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Paul is saying, once I knew, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, in other words, he said, it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb. He called me through his grace and to reveal his son in me that I might preach among the Gentiles. So he's saying, when I knew that it was my responsibility to preach among the Gentiles, I conferred no more with flesh and blood. And that's how it is. Once you know on the inside of you, once you know in your knower, I don't know how to explain it any better than that. Once you know in your knower, that's how it is. You don't have to confer any. You don't have to go up to anybody. "What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm kind of, you know, him hawing around. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't." Once you know in your knower, you don't have to confer anymore with flesh and blood. And then he talks about here, you know, speaking with Peter and James and what have you. But the concept that I want you to get, the principle is that you don't have to really confer anymore with anybody else because you have God's word on the situation. So now when you pray in faith, it's your heart is lining up with your head and your mouth. And all three are work. And I'm telling you, there's power there. But your heart is not fighting with your head, because your head will cause you problems, won't it? It'll cause you problems. Your heart will say, "Oh, yeah. And your head will go, no. It's just like, you know, when he pulls in all this work, my head goes, "What are you doing?" You know, my heart goes, "Nope, you got to live by faith too, Brett." I got to live by faith in this, don't I? Like, "Oh, you just called me to work with Mike so I could learn how to grow in faith," because I was not a painter before I started working for Mike. So every day it feels like I walk in and something new is going on, something new is different. I got to go, "Okay, I've never done this before." Here we go. I don't know how I'm going to get this done, but you make it happen. So that's how faith operates. You don't confer anymore with flesh and blood. And that's why it's the prayer of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when God speaks to you, now I can pray in faith because my heart heard the word of God. It's not just something I reconciled in my head or I've logically figured this out. my heart registered. I was reading the Word of God, and immediately, yeah, right there. That's the Word. That's God's Word. Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's it right there. Now I can pray in faith. See, it's a prayer of faith. And now I can pray out of my mouth and pray about that situation, things that I need. Faith sees from the Spirit, not from the flesh. Tangible and visible things came from the Spirit. The worlds were formed from the invisible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that was in Hebrews chapter 11 that we read. So when we pray in faith about things, we can believe that God is going to move on our behalf, and we may not see it tomorrow. Like I said, payday doesn't always come on Friday, but it does come. You keep making investments and praying and believing God, and things begin to happen. They begin to change. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, and I'll give you an example of a prayer of faith by the first century church. And there was no ifs in this prayer. That's why I like it. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Now let's stop right here. Because this is when Peter and John are preaching in the streets, or preaching in the synagogues, and the Sadducees are going around. They're saying, you need to pipe down on this. This whole Jesus resurrection and what have you, this has got to go away. So they actually put him in jail. And you'll see as this story progresses here that they begin to get very physical with them. I'm being nice when I say that. They marveled. And then they realized that they had been with Jesus. Verse 14, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out in the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them in evidence to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Excuse me. So they called them and commanded them to speak no more or at all to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and James answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things for which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they had glorified God and for what they had done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions or their own company and reported on all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard them, they raised their voice. Now here's the prayer of faith right here. Don't you hear the power in this? They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now that's a good way to start, right? Let's make God big. I mean, they didn't play around. Let's make God big. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and your signs and your wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now there was no if in there at all. This is a prayer of faith right here in action. So let's go on and see what they did after they did this. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 verse 14. That's just one page over. And the believers increased and added to the Lord multitudes, both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So they've prayed this, and guess what's happening? Exactly what they had prayed. Acts chapter 5, we'll skip down to verse 27. And when they had brought them, talking about the Sadducees because they were upset again. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring us this man's blood, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Well. Exactly. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit of God, whom God has given to us who obey him. Now, they prayed for boldness. You think this is boldness? These people can make their lives miserable if they wanted to. And so they prayed for boldness, and sure enough, Peter lays it out again. He goes before him again, and he lays it out boldly. He didn't hold back. He didn't taper his words. He didn't taper his words the first time. He says, whom you crucified. I mean, you kind of go, man, Peter, you could have kind of said that tactfully a little differently, you know. But Peter didn't. He laid it right out there, said, this is how it is, ladies and gentlemen. But that's what they needed to hear. They needed to hear something bold, and that's exactly... And they had prayed for boldness, and guess what? Here they were confronted again, brought before a council again, and boldness came on them. So in verse 34 through 42, then one in the council stood up, and the Pharisees named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to the men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you invited to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, 400, joined him. He was slain, and all that obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him, and he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men, and let them alone. For if this plan... Or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed at that point, began to not harass him anymore. But verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame of his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So they continued to just be bold. They didn't let any of that stop them. Was their prayer answered? Absolutely it was. They had prayed. They didn't pray if prayer. Maybe if it be your will, and Lord, we don't know. And if that's what's in your heart, then you just need to continue to seek God's face and pray and spend time in His Word until you know. Because then when you know, you can pray in faith about things. So the prayer of faith considers it done. After the petition has been requested, if I ask you to do something and you did it and you did not respond immediately, and I continue to ask you about it. We talked about this earlier. So let's talk in about why we don't receive sometimes things that we ask for. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We just got a few more minutes here. James chapter 4, just a little bit about why we don't receive things, and I have seen this in my own personal life too, and that's why the Word of God is important, because I'll be going through the Word of God, and all of a sudden, there's my reason why. James is one of those books, I can't read it without getting spanked. I don't know how else to say it. It's just one of those books that's just so razor sharp. It's like, man, dude, just calm down. I mean, he's just so direct. I mean, it's like, wow, dude. You know, I mean, you can't even read the first verse and you're like, all right, I can just shut the book for, you know, I got to work on the first two verses. I, you know, why even read anymore? You know, it's count it all joy, my brother, when you fall in the various trials and temptations. Well, we could just stop there, you know. I got work to do. You know, count it all joy. I don't want to be joyful right now. I want to be miserable, and I want to mumble and complain. Count it all joy. I want you to be happy. My life is falling apart, God. This is not the time to be happy. I'm not, Like I said, I can't even read the book of James without getting, you need to, All right, I'm getting there. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Boy, that's true. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now, this is the part that I want you to see. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. It's not necessarily what you're asking for that's wrong. It's your motives, isn't it? It's your motives, you know. And sometimes when you change your motives, all of a sudden you go, I'm not even going to ask for that. I'm going to ask for something different. Like rather than asking for this person to just, I want this person to be eradicated from my life altogether. They're a pain in my neck. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're frustrating to me, God. I just, please remove them from my life. Paul had his thorn in the flesh. I have this person. I get it. I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room that has ever wanted to pray that prayer. But we can't change people's wills. I just, But this is, and then you go, okay, Lord, I know I need to just pray for that person. They need you really, really bad. And you obviously have me here for a reason. So, Lord, I pray in faith that you'll open the eyes of their understanding, that they'll be flooded with light, that they will know the hope to which you've called them. Because you do have a call for them and a hope for them. So make me a blessing to them. Oh, Lord, you make me a blessing, Lord. I don't want to make this person cookies. There's a lot of other things I like to make them, Some fudge brownies with some never mind, we won't go there. I want to make them go to the bathroom for several hours, because of them fudge brownies that I made them, I just said that. No, but this is where the Word of God conforms you and you go, I know, I need to change. I need to pray for this person. And really, if you're having trouble with people and somebody's aggravating and it's frustrating to you, you genuinely pray for them like you would pray for yourself. And it will change, oh my goodness, it will change that, like that person that cuts you off and pulls in front of you or, oh. Once again, I'm not the only person in this room who's been frustrated. I remember I was driving Park City. This guy, he was driving one of these little rice burners, he's got the wheels on it and everything, and it's got this muffler that makes it sound bigger, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And the thing is dropped down to the, as low as it can go, and he's taking his sweet time driving to Park City, and we just got out of Laurel. You know what road I'm talking about? It's like, okay, this is the only road going to Park City. So I'm driving behind him, and he's doing like 40 or 45, and I couldn't pass him. And finally, I decided, okay, after this turn, I'm going to come out of that turn, and I'm going to hit that. I'm going to, and I'm going to pass him. I'm going to be done with it, and I'll be able to drive 55 and 60 in a 55 or 60-mile-an-hour zone. So I come out of the corner, and I lit into my, whoa, and I hit the gas, and all of a sudden he goes, whoa, and I'm like, you did not just sit here and do this to me. Are you serious? And I'm driving alongside him, I'm like, you really serious? We're doing 80, and I'm like, really? So I pull out the gas, I'm like, Lord, I'm not even going to touch it. I can't even get mad about this. I don't need to be getting mad about this. I don't need to be getting angry. I need to repent right now because I want to pull into his driveway and pull him out of his car and punch him in his face or something. Just, what in the world? Are you crazy? See, I don't know how it, Montana's different. Now, where I'm from, if you pull that kind of stupidity, people will do stupid things to you. I mean, and they will. They'll pull you out of your car and knock the mess out of you, and then you have to deal with it. But that's where I'm from. You know, it's a little bit different here in Montana, but
not much. Yeah, well,
well, I tell you. But I had to pray for that man. I was like, oh, Lord, I do not want to pray for him. But I know if I just keep rolling around in my head, I'm going to just, I'm going to be mad the whole. And then it was funny, is because I finally said, okay, I'm done. I pull behind him, and he puts on his left-hand turn signal, and he pulls into the, you know, on the same road I was just going to pass him on. So I was like, so you floored it. Oh, and now I'm banking even more. So now you floored it. Wouldn't let me pass you so that I could kick behind you, and then you make a left-hand turn right at the next ranch that was in. Oh.
Just keep rubbing it back and forth.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I had to repent. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I can't. I'm gonna knock this guy three ways the next Sunday.
Ooh.
Oh, thank God for forgiveness. I had to forgive him and move on. But it's funny. Your flesh will do a lot of things, won't it? So, I'm just telling on myself because I know I'm not the only one, right? Oh, I tell you. And this is the other thing. So we need to keep our motives straight when we're praying for other. When we're praying for ourselves, our motives need to be correct. And the other thing that I didn't get to really touch on, I'll touch on it for just a minute. He talks about this in the book, is when you're praying for other people, like if you're praying for healing for somebody, if that person, and he talks about this in the book, if that person is a baby Christian, he could carry them on his faith. Just like in a business, you know, if you're the businessman, you got an employee walking up to you like me, coming up to Mike. Mike, I don't know how we're going to get all this work done. Mike would just relax. I'll carry you on my faith. Don't worry about it. And that's kind of what it's like. People will, you can actually carry people on your faith. Don't worry about it. I can carry you on my faith. And you can get people healed. But now after they've heard the word a little bit and they've grown a little bit, God starts to hold them more responsible for things. Now all of a sudden they've got to stand on their own. Just like your children, you raise them to stand on their own. And at some point, you know, they can't live at home with mom and dad anymore. No, you got to go make your own hay. You understand that? You got to go make your own hay. You got to do your thing, man. You can't. You're 25. Then this is not working or whatever, you know. You understand what I'm saying? So it's that same way. We can carry people on our faith for a while, but at some point, and God knows where this point is at, that person is capable of believing. They need to develop their own faith. They need to develop their own trust in me and rest in me. And they need to get into the Word until healing is part of their spiritual, I don't know, it's part of their thinking. It's part of what their life in their head. But they need to develop that in themselves. So that was one of the things that he did talk about in the book. That's why we can't change people. We have to pray that God will open the eyes of their understanding, that they would be flooded with light. Because the Holy Spirit has to open the eyes of their understanding and show them and reveal to them things. Then we can get an agreement together. Make sense? Because now they have faith. And then they can believe God for themselves, or we can get an agreement together about something. But we can't believe God if that person is not willing to believe God, unless they're somewhat immature in things or what have you. Brother Hagin, he talked about in the book that when he said it was the easiest thing for him to get either newborn people or people that were unsaved healed. It was the easiest thing in the world. New Christians, he could get them healed. He said, but I would go to full gospel meetings where they had heard the word. They knew about healing and things like that. And he says it was hard road to hoe because they hadn't developed these things in their own prayer life or in their own personal life and their time with God. So he said sometimes it was very, very difficult in order for things to manifest healing and what have you. So those are things that just, I hear you. My watch is beeping at me. Let me know it's 8 o'clock. So, but that's the prayer of faith. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.